about Rosh Hashanah and Tshuva. Okay? All right. So, what does the word Tshuva mean?
Return.
Right. Means to return to where?
God.
Return to God. To return to your source. So there's an interesting Gemara. There's an interesting pasuk in Chazal. So the pasuk says, and it's speaking according to, I think the Ramban, it's speaking about tshuva. It says, "Lo lechokahi." It's not far from you. Bilvavcha, it's in your hearts. It's not be'eve hayam. It's on the other side of the waters. It's not in a different country. It's not b'shamayim. It's not in the heavens. Krova elecha. It's close to you. Bilvavcha. It's in your heart. La'asota. To do it. Tshuva is close to you. The pasuk of the Torah says that. The same pasuk, as according to Rashi, is speaking about Torah. Torah is also close to you. On Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that we blow a shofar. Right? And the Gemara speaks, why is it curved? Right? According to one opinion, that's the opinion we hold. Why is it curved? So Gemara says, yeah? Kama dekaif inish date tfei ma'ali. As much as a person is kaif, is bent, it's better. What do you mean, how much is better? Right? So Rashi says, Mishum nasa levaveinu el kapayim, hilkach barosh Hashanah. No, sorry. Nasa levaveinu el kapayim, right? So we require kfufim. Kfufim means that we're bent towards the Kodesh Baruch. We bend ourselves. Right? We bend ourselves. How do we bend ourselves? How does a person bend himself? And what's the shofar related to Torah? Just so I mention another thing. The shofar that was blown on Matan Torah was also a shofar. That was the Ayelo Shel Yitzchak Avinu. That's the same aisle of the Akedah, right, that we use for Rosh Hashanah. So there's obviously a relationship between tshuva and Torah. How do I know? If we look into our tefillah, right? First, our first bracha we say in our davening is, please give us das. Be gracious and give us das, understanding. The next bracha we say what? It's the bracha of a tshuva. You look at our tefillah? Hashiveinu avinu b'taratecha. Bring us in tshuva to your Torah. So we see that tshuva and Torah are entwined. The returning to Kodesh Baruch Hu is the returning to Torah. You with me? So we have to. What does it mean to return to Torah? What does it mean to return to Torah? That means every aveira that a person does is a distancing of himself from the Torah. He needs to return to the Torah. It doesn't happen automatically. He needs tshuva. Tshuva to return him to the Torah. How do you return to the Torah? Why should an Aveira, why you have a Chas Hashanah, a person has a cheeseburger, he's rachok from the Torah? Why if a person has an Aveira, he's rachok, he's distant from the Torah? Why? Why does an Aveira distance him from the Torah?
Because it says in the Torah not to do those things. So if you do those things, then you're putting yourself further away from the Torah. It's not so much an understanding that you have of it. It's just, this is what God commanded. If you do against what He commanded, you're distancing yourself from Him and His Torah.
Okay, that's very good. So distance, that's a good pshat. You're saying that since Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Torah is not just a textual learning book, it's a book which is a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
That, so if you're not living that way of life which the Torah teaches you, you're distancing yourself from the Torah. You're not distancing yourself from the wisdom of the Torah, so to speak, the chokhmah, like if it was mathematics, you don't have to behave like a mathematician, right? When you study mathematics, right? But in the Torah, you have to behave like what the Torah says. That's God's will. You distance yourself from God's will. Now, the Gemara also says, why is it that shofar, right, is... Gemara says you can't make a shofar with a para, right? Why can't you make a shofar with a para? Because it's a avodas pnim, right? The call of the shofar is a avodas pnim. The kfifa of shofar, the kafuf, the bending of the shofar, a kfifat klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a bending towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's an avodas pnim, an inner avoda. What does it mean an avodas pnim, an inner avoda? What does that mean? So there's a very, very famous Rambam, which everyone hears before Rosh Hashanah. And we're going to look at that Rambam now. The Rambam says as follows. Afalpi, even though, it's a Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Afalpi, even though, Shetkiyah Shofar B'Rosh Hashanah, Gzeres HaKosov, it's a Gzeres HaKosov, it's something which is a Torah law, yeah? And therefore, by definition, we cannot understand fully the understanding of a Torah law, right? Remish Yeshbo, it has a hint. There's a hint of what it does to a person. Kloma, Uru Uru Yishenim. Wake up, you sleepers. That means the whole year, we're sleepers. Right? We're sleeping, we're asleep. Wake up. Mishinatchem, from your slumber. V'hikitsu nirdamim mitardamatchem. And be awakened from your deep sleep. V'chipsu b'maaseichem, and look in your actions. V'chazru b'tshuva, return in tshuva. V'zachru borechem, and remember your Creator. Now, how's that? Elu hashochachim et ha'emes. Those are the people who forget the truth. Behevle hazman, in everyday life. V'shogim kol shnatam, and they spaced all their time, behevel v'rik, with emptiness. Asher lo yo'il, which doesn't help them, v'lo yatzil, wasn't save them. Hibitu l'nafshoteichem, look at your souls, at your inner self. V'hitivu darkeichem, and improve your ways. Ma'aleichem v'yazov kol echad michem, and throw away all of you, darko hara, your bad ways, umachshavato asher lo tova, and your thoughts which aren't good. So now, that, as you think about it, what's happening? First, what does shofar do?
Wakes you up.
Wakes you up from what?
Forgetting the truth.
Yeah, that means your sleep. What's your sleep? Your sleep is normal life. Normal life, you're back in America, you're working, you're doing whatever you're doing, right? That takes you away from reality. You're in slumber. Normal life takes you, puts you into a place of slumber. You need to be woken up from normal life. So, really that should be done every moment of our day. Tefillah is also an important part of waking us up from normal life. That learning is also a part of waking us up from normal life, right? We get our injection of tefillin in the morning, our shacharis in the morning, our mincha in the afternoon, our ma'ariv at night, and our learning that should be, at least sometime in the morning and sometime in the evening, minimum, right? There should be some sort of awakening. General status of a person is a person in slumber. A person is called an inish. Inish in Aramaic means to forget. A person forgets. Naturally, the natural status of a person is to forget his role in life, his real role. Why is that? Because we have a goof, we have a physical body. Our physical body, if a person doesn't eat, what happens to them?
Get hungry.
You start thinking about food. If you don't learn, anything happens to us? Some of us have been learning for, if you don't learn Torah, you don't daven, anything, you feel like hungry for davening?
No.
No? What does that tell us about? I'll give you another example. There's a Gemara that says you shouldn't look at a woman's clothing that you know on a cloth, right? You shouldn't look at a woman's clothing that on a clothesline, or when they put out the clothing. Times of Gemara, they used to. You shouldn't look at it because it reminds you of the woman, and that's not a proper thing. So that's something we could all understand. So because someone asked a big rabbi, says, "I don't understand, Rabbi. If I look at my tzitzis, which has the tcheles is supposed to remind me of the yam, of the sea, and the seas are supposed to remind me of the heavens, and the heavens are supposed to remind me of kisei hakavod." So this rabbi told him, but the other Gemara that says not to look at a woman's clothing because it reminds you of a woman, that you understand very well. This you don't understand. Why is that we don't understand that so well? Why if we look at a blue on tzitzis, all of a sudden we don't think of kisei hakavod? Because we're distant. Our thinking is distant. Our thinking is so plugged in to our physical reality that our physical reality, if we don't eat, we're hungry. If we don't get cake break and tea or whatever it is, we're hungry, right? We forget it. Now, it can be different. We can be in a different reality. There's no days that it happens to you that you're engrossed in something very, very interesting and you forget eating. You know, before the finals or before some really interesting idea or some very interesting subject, you forget yourself, you go without eating, you're not even hungry. Doesn't happen?
Happened.
Yeah, it can happen. Happens more rarely than happens more rarely than other things, right? But we're more in connecting with our physical self. Since we're more in connecting with our physical self, that takes us into a mode of slumber. To remove ourselves from that mode of slumber, we need it orarut. We need to be awakened. The awakening is with a shofar. How? How is it? This is the remez. How is it awakening with a shofar? What does a shofar mean? So we're seeing it means an form of introspection. Yeah? Some form of introspection. Right? It means some form of introspection. How do we do that introspection? Shofar is called two things. Avodas Pnim, we said. An inner avoda and a kfifa. And a bending. A bending of what?
Your mind.
Huh?
Your mind.
Bending of the mind. What do you mean by bending of the mind?
Humbling ourselves.
A humility of what? Humility of what? A realization of who we are. A realization of our goof, of our physicality that takes us astray. And a bending of ourselves, what does it mean a bending of ourselves? A hachna of our inner selves to something greater than ourselves. A realization, right, that without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, our dependence on Him, we wouldn't be able to do anything. We have a Yetzirah, we have, so to speak, an evil inclination that takes us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's very natural. Without a realization that without His help, we can't overcome this Yetzirah, our natural instinct, we're not going to be able to even start. And the second thing is an inner introspection. There has to be time for an inner introspection. Because when you do an inner introspection, one thing about our Yetzirah, one thing about our physicality, it's all about immediately. You're immediately hungry, you want to eat. You're not thinking about eating. I mean, maybe we are, I don't say. But we're not so interested in eating about tomorrow. Right?
Maybe on Shabbos.
Okay, you look for the Shabbos, something special. But we're not so interested about tomorrow. Right? We can always plan for tomorrow. You know, Gershenfeld says an interesting thing. He says that whenever he calls the guys over for pizza or ice cream, right? And he doesn't want to indulge in his ice cream. Right? He likes ice cream or whatever, right? But he doesn't want to indulge. Right? So he does a very simple trick. He eats meat beforehand, right? So he's wasted 6 hours, and 6 hours happen to be at the time that he calls you guys over. So he's not going to have his ice cream or whatever it is that he doesn't want to have. So he has a reinforcement of the Torah not to have. He's planning ahead. Right? You can always
pizza? No pizza. No, he eats meat 6 hours before he knows we're coming over, so he won't eat the ice cream in between, and he knows it's in the freezer.
Oh, maybe that's the reason. I don't know. Afterwards, when you come over, I don't know. Maybe it's what he said. I don't know. I heard it from one of the boys. He said that. I don't know if it's beforehand. No idea. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's the concept of using the Torah to help you to overcome, to thinking ahead. That's what I'm trying to using it for. The concept of using the Torah to think ahead. But what's the point of all of this? The point of the shofar is that we get into a mode of introspection. How do we do that introspection? What does introspection mean? How do you do that introspection? Why is shofar more rare introspection? If you look at the call of the shofar, right? A voice. What's the call of the shofar? It's a truah. Sorry, tkiah. Like it's a clear blowing, a straight blowing, a truah, a cut blowing, and then another tkiah. So right, the tkiah is something straight. It's brought down in Sfarim. Tkiah represents the time of simcha, some time of joy. Sometimes when you're straight, when a person is straight with his creator, that brings a joy to a person. Yashakel, Yisra, that brings a certain joy. That's a tkiah. We're not so completely straight. So then we have a truah. The truah, the Gemara says, it's Yiluli Yaleil or Genuchi Ganach, right? What does that mean? It means a form of, we learn it from the mother of Sisra. The mother of Sisra, when she was waiting in the window for her son to come after battle, right? After fighting the Jewish people, he didn't come back, he was killed. She started crying. There was two types of crying. Genuchi Ganach, which is that's the Shvarim. And which is the truas, So the Gemara says first the person's genuchi ganach, and then, but it's a form of crying. So it's a simcha, a crying, and again a simcha. A person has yashrus. His neshama is yashar kel, is straight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He has yashrus. The purpose of shofar is to bring him to a higher level of yashrus, to a higher level. Recognition of his yashrus, that's the tkiah, his simcha, his joy, his connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the tkiah does, because it's a tkiah, is a tkiah of a melech. You're tokeh when the melech comes, when a king comes, right? The king comes to the city, right? So we make a tkiah, we make a, you know, the trumpet goes off, and everyone's happy, waving the flags of the melech, we're happy to see the melech. But then, here it's a different concept. When the melech comes, there's also a concept, there's judgment. If the person, the melech comes and he's visiting his people, and the people aren't dressed properly, they don't have the tie and the suit, they're dressed in their simple clothing, that's a not proper behavior to the king. And then there's a fear, and then the fear brings on a crying that they're not fitting to be receiving the king. And that crying breaks a person. And that breaking of a person removes the person from his, how you say, his, the ra in him. How do a person remove, the Gemara says, a kli cheres. Kli cheres. Kli cheres, Gro explains, represents rishayim, represents bad people, or the bad person in us, right? The bad things. We don't, when a person does an avera, he's a rasha for that moment. Person does a mitzvah, he's a tzaddik in that moment. All of us have a rasha in us. That's the Yetzirah. The breaking of that Yetzirah comes with the shvira of the kli cheres, the breaking of the kli cheres. That's the tkiah. That's the truah. Sorry, that's the bechi. The bechi in us, that inner cry within us, is the breaking of our ra, breaking of our, how you say, our ra, the breaking of our, the bad side in us. And that brings us to a new awareness of clarity of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You know when sometimes you yearn for something? You honestly yearn and you cry for it? You feel a certain clarity afterwards? You know, the cry. Why do we cry? Where does cry come from? You know, when a person normally cries, what happens? His eyes become, how you call it? Become glossed over, watery. His vision becomes blurred. Right? Crying, the process, the word for crying in Lashon HaKodesh is Dima. What's Dima? Dama. That, what is it? Crying comes when a person has a frustration, he has an unclarity. He doesn't know where he's going. He has a frustration. He wants to be close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he doesn't know how to get there. So that comes with a cry. Or he can't get there. He's in a situation where he's unable to get there. That frustration, right? That unclarity, through crying, brings a person to clarity. It's a funny thing, when a person has that volcano, so to speak, of emotions, that eruption of emotions that happens, that comes through to him, that brings him onto tears, that brings him to crying. That unclarity of crying brings him to a new level of clarity, and that brings him to a new level of tekiah. So we're going from a clarity, an introspection, through a bechi, a breaking of self, that's the kfifa, that's the kayif tfei, the breaking of self, the bending of self, right? The bending, the breaking of self, and into a new level of clarity. But the bechi, the crying, what's the crying about? Why does a person cry? Why? What are we crying about? We're crying about ourselves in the sense that we couldn't be a better self. We can reach higher levels. We can be closer. There can be more of an avoda in ourselves. It's not a cry of chas v'shalom, a person loses a relative. That's a cry of no hope. That's a cry of missing. You're never going to get that person again. This is a cry of hope. And it started with Tisha B'Av. The crying on Tisha B'Av is the first beginning of the tshuva. Right? I don't know if you heard this. There's a beginning of tshuva. That's tshuva miyira. And tshuva from a fear. Right? And the crying of Elul, the shofar of Elul. We know the whole of Chodesh Elul, we took care of the shofar. And finally, the synthesis of that is Rosh Hashanah and the Yamim Noraim. Right? That brings us to a new level of hope, of re-reaching our inner self, of re-reaching our pshuta, the yashar kel, the straight with the Kodesh Baruch Hu that we're going to reach on Rosh Hashanah. That's the tekiyas. Now how does this go, these tekiyas on Rosh Hashanah, right, and the crying and the tshuva, on Rosh Hashanah you don't say any, on Yom Kippur we say Al-Chet, yeah? On Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Al-Chet. So Rosh Hashanah, according to the Rambam, right? Atkiya Shofar, Remez Bedav is Tshuva. There's no mention of Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. The Kabbalists say that in between the Tkiyas, there's a Vidui, there's a special Vidui that you do. But Ashkenazim, it's only Svarim do that. Ashkenazim don't have even a Vidui there. They're not supposed to do Vidui. You're not supposed to mention Chatayim on Rosh Hashanah, Bichlal, not at all. You don't even eat things which are Gematria Chet. Right? You don't eat things which their name, the numerical value is chet, right? The word of avera is not even mentioned on Rosh Hashanah. So how can you do tshuva? You're not doing vidu. You're not doing how you say vidu. You're not doing
confession.
Not confession means charata. You're not having remorse on the things you do. That you do on Yom Kippur, right? So why is Rosh Hashanah time for tshuva? So I explained to you. There's a very interesting marshal. Very interesting, yeah?
Was it more of a time to do tshuva before Rosh Hashanah? Or actually on the day doing tshuva?
On the day as well, on the day. Rosh Hashanah is a day of tshuva itself. That's what Tekiyas Shofar. Remez Yesh B'Dov, that's the Rambam. There's a hint. Oru Yesheni Mita Demechem, V'Shavu B'Tshuva, and return in tshuva. We're not mentioning any form of vidu in Rosh Hashanah. In Erev Rosh Hashanah, we don't have a vidu either. And we have Slichas, right? And there's vidui the slichas, right, the week beforehand. But Rosh Hashanah itself, which should be the climate, should be a time of vidui, right? Why isn't there vidui? You hear the question? Okay. Rosh Hashanah is the proclamation of kingship. What does it mean? We don't really understand the concept of kingship. If we're standing in the room, a person who at the flick of an eyelid Chas v'Shalom could put a life sentence or a death sentence, Chas v'Shalom, to someone, there would be a tremendous fear of that person. But we don't understand what a king is. Kingship is what does it mean? A recognition that our lives are completely dependent on Kodesh Baruch Hu. A complete dependence. When a person gets to a level that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is kibyochol, his king, a recognition that his life is completely dependent on him, that's the ultimate level of tshuva. What do I mean by that? That your life's completely dependent. For example, I'll give you an example. There's a marshal that's given as follows. A marshal is a parable.
Parable?
It's given as follows. Say someone had a drug, right? This person had a terrible illness. He was on his deathbed. The doctors gave him an hour to live. That was it. Finished. He was calling his relatives in. It's the end. He was telling his sons, this one's got this one gets that. He's on his deathbed. Yeah? All of a sudden, doctor from overseas comes in, says, I have a remedy. So he comes in with a syringe, he puts it into this person, he pricks him, and he puts a syringe in him, and the person comes to life. It's a miracle, it's amazing, it's a miracle drug. The person wakes up with all his strength, What does he do? Boom! He bashes him in the face. Make sense? Doesn't make sense. Would a person do such a thing? Your whole life, this guy with the syringe gave you. You bash him in the face? Who gives us life? Who gives us the air to breathe? He gives us the lungs that work to breathe the air. That we can, that our body works. When a person has that recognition that everything comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's going to bash him in the face. He's going to do an avera. He's going to do something wrong against it. Kiviyochol against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's tshuva. The recognition of Malchus, the recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu as the king of the world, the recognition of that happening, right? That recognition, yeah, is what gives us the tshuva, the essential tshuva. You with me? Yeah? Okay. Of that syringe, right? It's for that moment. In a 10 years' time, would that person recognize the person that put the syringe in him? He might have forgotten him. Time makes a person forget.
But also,
that's why we have a Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah is that syringe. We get in that syringe every year on Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Kabbalists say on Rosh Hashanah, what a person gets on Rosh Hashanah, what a person gets on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, is the syringe for his whole year. That means the life that you're going to get for the whole year is on those 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, if someone's going to give you a life portion in 2 days, and it depends. Now, say, in order for that life potent that you're going to get on those 2 days, depends on, you know, how your body absorbs it, and how your blood system, it goes into your blood system, and your, you know, the cleanness of your blood, right? So everyone for those 2 days will be a tivoni. We'll be, we'll be, you know, having special herbs, we'll be having special diet, we'll be looking after himself, right? That's what a person would do. Because this syringe that he's getting on Rosh Hashanah, right? If his body is in a good, clean, physical state, that syringe is going to be absorbed into his body, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to have a tremendous effect on him. It's going to give him a tremendous strength for the whole year. That's exactly what we do in Rosh Hashanah in these 10 days of tshuva. Even though a person, during the whole year, at a certain level of kashrus, of Rosh Hashanah, the 10 days of repentance, the 10 days, these Yamim Noraim, he eats a high level of kashrus. He behaves on a higher level. Why? Because these are the days he's getting that syringe, especially the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That's why Rosh Hashanah, even when we're eating, the rabbis made a special takana, that when you're eating, you eat fruits or things that remind you of Rosh Hashanah. You understand? You're saying, Yitamu et oiveinu, or you know, you eat tamarim, or whatever it is, right?
Apples
and honey. Apples, to have a good year. Or the rosh of a fish, or whatever. It'll be a head, not a zanab. All these ramazim, all these hints, it's to be more us, even the time of eating, that we don't forget. Because when a person eats, he forgets. His spiritual thing. When you're involved in the physical world, you're forgetting. So even when we're eating on Rosh Hashanah, we want to be connected to the spiritual concept of Rosh Hashanah as a Rosh Hashanah. We don't want to forget it. We want to be like, you know, like healthy guys in order for that syringe to work. So that's the time we want to be spiritually healthy. What do you do on Rosh Hashanah most of the day? You're davening in here till around 2 o'clock, 2:30. And then you go and eat a meal, and you come back around 4:30, you're davening again. And you're davening Maariv, to come out straight after. You're having a drosh, and then you're davening Maariv. You spend most of the day davening. You're exhausted. And then you have 2 days of it. On Rosh Hashanah, there's an Indian to get up early in the morning, before Alot HaShachar, before the rising of the pillar of dawn. So you should be sleeping on a day that you can be receiving such a tremendous present, such a tremendous life. Rosh Hashanah is the day you get this syringe. The Kabbalists say that it said Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. We literally get the head of the year on Rosh Hashanah. The head for the whole year is given to us on Rosh Hashanah. If you know, you to build a human being, the most important part of a human being is his head, right? The most important part of the year is the head of the year. If there's some blemish in the head, the hand might not work, the foot might not work so well, right? So Rosh Hashanah, we've been given the head of the year. So you can imagine what sort of preparation we need, how our tefillah should look, how our kiyas shofar should be, how we should be thinking of, you know, coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu and to His Torah. And that's what we're going to go back to. The Isle of Yitzchak was the kiyas shofar on Har Sinai. The purpose of all, to become a vessel, to clean ourselves. What cleans ourselves? It's the Hashiveinu Avinu L'Toratecha. The returning to the Torah is the best way, that's the best medicine for cleansing a person. But Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Torah Tavlin L'Yetzahara. Torah is the potent of the Yetzahara. It's the potent, it's that syringe. The Torah itself is the syringe of the Yetzahara. That's what we're receiving on Rosh Hashanah. That potent, that ability of being able to clean ourselves of our Yetzirah, of the ability of being able to close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's the Torah. To become a vessel for the Torah. What's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is the siyum, is the finishing off of Rosh Hashanah. What will happen on Yom Kippur? We receive the Torah. The Torah that we live with wasn't Shavuos. Shavuos was Teres Moshe. The luchot that we received on Shavuos was broken. The tablets we received on Shavuot were broken. That's not what we live with. That's not Torah that we can live. That was Torah which didn't have any forgetfulness. The Torah we live with is Torah that you have to toil in. That's the Torah of Yom Kippur. The whole point of all of this is that we should receive the Torah on Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is just the hachana to Yom Kippur in a sense. Achana to receiving the Torah, that we make ourselves into this vessel that can be received the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That's the purpose. And what? How do we receive this dominion? Kabbalah's Torah. Malchus in this world means the receiving of the Torah. Ashibud. How do you say Ashibud? Our slavery to the Torah. What does it mean, slavery? It's a funny thing. The Gemara says, Einecha ben chorin, you don't only have a free person who's osik b'Torah, who's learning Torah. Why it says cherut ala luchot. The luchot was engraved. Charut. It says, al tikra charut, tikra cherut. Freedom. Freedom, because you only can be a free person if you're free from the servitude of your desires. And what gives us that freedom from the servitude of our desires? That's Torah. When a person learns Torah, and a person devoted to Torah, and the will of a Kodesh Baruch becomes one with his will, that's ultimately Malchus. Your will is his will. That means Malchus, and that means Torah. So the whole purpose of these days is to fine-tune ourselves, to remove ourselves from our physicality, to make our body like clean ourselves out, and that's what shofar does, the breaking of a person's inner self, the introspection of a person's inner self, the tefillah, because that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is a form of introspection, it's a form of meditation, it's a form of meditative introspection. When we're talking to Rish Baruch Hu about ourselves, you with me? We're talking to him, we want to get close to him, we're introspecting, we see ourselves and those things which separate us from him. And the removing of those things, those, so to speak, blemishes of our inner selves, brings us closer to him, makes us a vessel to be receiving of that Torah. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. And that's ultimately Malchus. And the preparation for that is Torah itself, the introspection through Torah and Tefillah, right? And the learning of Torah, and the receiving of Torah. Torah is not a simple thing. There's a Ramchal that says that of all the influences that Kodesh Baruch gives us, the highest influence is Torah. And he explains that in order to receive Torah, a person has to be has certain conditions for the reception of Torah. Not everyone can receive Torah. He says there's two conditions for receiving of Torah. He says, Yira B'Talmud, you have to understand what this is. This is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. This is not just a physics book. This is not an encyclopedia. This is not a book of wisdom. Take it or leave it. This is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. And you have to realize what it is. That's why, you know, we can't just, you know, like put a sefer on the floor. We have to treat it with respect. Because we know what it is. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. Right? The second thing he says, Tikkun HaMaisim. When a person learns Torah, he has to have the intention to fix himself. If he has those two things, says the Ramchal, the Torah has an effect on him that changes him completely. He's completely changed. That's what Torah does to a person. And we don't understand it, but I want to tell you something. I've seen boys come to this yeshiva, and they came in at a certain stage. They came in with like some, you know, some came with depression, psychological problem, whatever it was. And some, just by learning Torah, they change themselves. I'm not saying some people, you know, you need to deal with your problems. You can't just say, I'm going to learn Torah. Some problems are before Torah, right? You have to be a vessel that's able to receive Torah also. Certain problems have to be dealt with. But certain times, a person's level of learning can change him to such an extent that he becomes a clean vessel. The Torah will clean him out. It will purify him. That's what Torah does. So when we're coming into Rosh Hashanah, our realization is that we want to have that kirva. We want to have that closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that closeness to Kodesh Baruch Hu means Ashiveinu Avinu L'Torah, return us to our Torah, a yearning of Torah, a yearning of His closeness, a yearning of His kingship. I'm not fitting of your kingship. I'm not fitting of your Torah. I'm wearing, look at my clothes that I'm wearing. I'm not even wearing clothes which are fitting to receive you, Kodesh Baruch Hu. But I want you. I want you. I want your Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, Barais Echadu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and His Torah is one thing. And that's what I'm yearning for. That's what I came to Yeshiva for. Give me your Torah. Give me your wisdom. Let it be mashpia on me. Let it be influence me. Let it change me. Let it have its effect on me. Give it to me. And that's what we should be doing in our davening. When we daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu, we should be asking Him to have that clarity, for that hashpa, for that influence that Torah should have on us. That it shouldn't just be a wisdom that we learn, goes in one year and comes out. It should be something which is mashpia on us, which has an influence on us, which changes us, which changes our whole focus. And that's what Torah really is. That's what real Malchus is. And that's what the Gemara says. Man Malcha, who are the real kings? Rabbanan. The rabbis. What do you mean the rabbis? I mean someone who's learning Torah. A rabbi is not called a rabbi. A rabbi is called a Talmid Chacham. He's a learner. A wise man is not someone who knows Torah. A wise man is someone who yearns Torah, who desires Torah, who desires wisdom. Your wise is based on the desire you have. Now why is that? My Rosh Hashiva explained once, that a person in the physical world, a person, if he's a rich man, how do you know if he's rich?
A lot of money.
If you have a lot of money, you're rich. If you don't have a lot of money, you're not rich. If you want to have a lot of money, that makes you rich. not in Manhattan, not in, right? Doesn't make you rich. Torah and spiritual things are different. You aren't wise because you have wisdom. You're wise because you desire wisdom. And it's the truth of every single spiritual desire. If you want and you desire earnestly, truthfully, something spiritual, that's where you are now. And the reason is because a person is not where he is, a person is where his will is. Wherever your will is, wherever your inner will is, right, that's where you are. If you want to know if a person's a good person or not a good person, of course you have to see his actions. But you have, if he says he wants to be better, he wants to be a good person, that's who he is. That's where he is now. You with me? You won't be judged, right, badly. If a person's a bad person but he doesn't do anything wrong, like Yishmael, right? He was going to harm the Jewish people. So when the Malachim came and told the Kodesh Baruch Hu, look what he's going to do to the Jewish people. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Asher Hu Shab, where he is now in terms of his action. Now he's not doing this, so we can't judge him. That's in terms of getting punishment. But in terms of who you are where your will is. You are where you desire. So now, think about it. Now work how it goes. We say, Hayom Harat Olam. Today is the pregnancy of the world. The world being impregnated today. And it's the impregnation of your world, of your year. And it's not only your year. On Rosh Hashanah, you get judged on your place in Olam Haba, in the world to come. That means the eternal eternities. It's a very special day. If a person knew what Rosh Hashanah was on a real way, and what Yom Kippur was in a real way, the avoda that we do on those days can affect your eternity. It doesn't only affect your 1 year that's coming about. It affects that year with regards to your eternity. We tremble on Rosh Hashanah. We'd be trembling if we actually were aware of what those days are and the effects of those days. So if we're going with it being the impregnation of the year, the beginning, right? The impregnation of the year, Ayom Harat Olam, right? And that's a very, you know, in the tefillah, we all stand up and we sing Ayom Harat Olam. You've heard that, right? Hayom Yamid B'Mishpat, right? That's a very big part of the tefillah. The chazan goes and it takes time and people are crying at that time. It's a very important time. What's happening? What's in Moreras? What's supposed to be Moreras? To come to recognition of what that day, the day is. What the day can infect. It's the head of the year. It's that injection, that thought. What's supposed to be our thought on these days? Because if our will, now work how, think how it works out. If our will on those days is to desire and be close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's who we are. That's where we are. That's who we are. And that also defines who we are for the whole year. You with me? So that's why these days are not days. You know, if there's any day that you shouldn't be sleeping. It's a halacha, it's one halacha. You shouldn't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. You shouldn't be sleeping. It's a bad thing to sleep. No, other days you go to sleep. Rosh Hashanah, you shouldn't be sleeping. You're supposed to be more rare. You're supposed to be doing mitzvahs. The Magen Avraham says, if you're not doing mitzvahs on Rosh Hashanah, if you're not doing good things on Rosh Hashanah, it's like sleeping. You should be actively doing things on Rosh Hashanah. Actively be davening, actively be learning, actively, even if you're tired. Fall asleep because you're too tired, you just plonk, you fall asleep. You understand what I'm saying? Because this is the day that if you ma'orer yourself, if you awaken yourself to that inner desire that's within you of wanting to, the yearning of being close, that's who you are on that day. And the syringe, that influence that you're going to get on that day, is going to have a tremendous effect for you the whole year, and not only the whole year, for your eternity in Olam Haba for that year, for the previous year, and for the potential of that future year. You with me? So when we realize that we have to that recognition, and we understand the ruchnius is judged by that rotzen, the whole point of that tefillah is to bring us to that rotzen, to bring us to that will that Kodesh Baruch Hu is our melech, and that we're dependent on him, and the kfufim, the kiyushov, we're kfufim to him, and the kiyushov, which is Torah, we want to be our will to be his will. That's what means we want to be, we want to receive his malchus, to receive his kingship. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. And then our Rosh Hashanah will really be the head of the year. They will really receive a proper head for the whole year. Okay? Make sense? I was speaking to someone this morning. He explained to me some things that I myself didn't know. He told me that the Kabbalists, they hold that on Rosh Hashanah, what we get on Rosh Hashanah, there's no day in the whole year that you get such a big influence like that day. We literally get what's called the head of the year, the spiritual head of the whole year. That means our soul, you know, the Jewish soul has five parts, yeah? You know, heard of this? The nefesh, the basic animal soul, the ruach, the spirit, that which is like this part of the soul which is the man part of the soul, and then there's the higher level soul, three are higher level soul, which is like the more spiritual soul, is the neshama. Then there's what's called the soul, then it's called your chaya, your living soul, and your yechida, your unity, right? Even I think the Buddhists, they speak in these terms, they call it different names, but it's like, I think they call it, it's the same thing, they also have these five levels. On Rosh Hashanah, we're receiving the three highest levels for the whole year. If you can imagine what that does, I mean, the rest of the year we're working on the lower levels, the lower two levels. On Rosh Hashanah, the higher three levels, in 2 days you get it. And that's for the whole year. It's not our soul, it's that part of our avoda which is connected to those three things. It's a tremendous thing. It's like, you know, it's mind-boggling. 2 days. So you have to, you know, you have to, if a person realizes, if a person was going to say, 2 days, enter the king's palace, you can take as many jewels as you want, right? All the crown jewels, take as much as you want, right? So what if a guy, you know the guy, he's in the banquet hall and he's having the chicken and the ice cream and the thing, right? He's not even bothering going to the king's palace. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's a fool. Rosh Hashanah is coming about. We should be going for the jewels, the crown jewels. That's what it's about. You with me? You have to, when you realize what it is, you go for it, you want it, you yearn for it, you desire it. And that's how you bring on the change in you and the change of that whole year. It's so good what you're saying, let's repeat it. So you're saying as follows, that on Rosh Hashanah, that commitment and that yearning, that desire to change, and desire to be close, will cause us to be less forgetful the whole year. Because our inner will be so, how you say, so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu and so one with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it will affect us in the whole rest of the year from going back to a slumber which normal reality brings us to 100%.